but it's not just the CapEx. It's also the fact that it will take you 10 to 15 years to get all the permits and get everything in place. So there's a lot of opportunity for us to consolidate. And I always say to investors, if you really want to conceptualize our operations, so not the exploration, but if you want to conceptualize our operations of gold and silver production, it's pretty simple that I feel that Nicola Mining will be the greatest consolidator of high grade, you know, gold and silver assets that British Columbia has ever seen. So that's
wow.
That's, you know, our credo, I guess.
Good day, everybody. It's Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I am with President and CEO of Nicola Mining, Peter Espig. Peter, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
Not bad. Peter, I saw you earlier this month. It was good to see you in person. A lot of excitement and buzz came from the Atlanta conference in regards to Nicola. Heard a lot of good things. Love to understand kind of what you got out of it in terms of the connections you made. What were people excited about? And is there anything you can tell me about what Nicola is up to these days? Anything going forward that excites you that you can disclose?
Sure, great. Thanks for it. So I'll start with the Atlanta conference. So I thought it was very eye-opening. And the reason is because we just recently listed on NASDAQ with the ticker NICM. You know, we haven't had that much interaction with American investors. So this was kind of, for us, it was like, you know, a launch dealing with U.S. investors. And the question was, so the difference between Canadian investors and American investors are Canadian investors really understand exploration. And, you know, and if you look at the TSX Venture, I think there's 1,530 stocks listed, 950 are exploration. Only 27 are companies like Nicola that have operations. So Canadians really understand exploration, whereas the questions from the U.S. or the Atlanta-based, Georgia-based investors were very operationally focused. So, and because Nicola is kind of, you know, we're a producer and we're moving towards opening other projects, it was very interesting. I think the U.S. investors really understand about the operational side of mining.
Okay.
Not as much as they do on the exploration side. And, you know, I'm a cash flow guy, so that really resonated well with me. So it was great. Had some great meetings, and we talked about, you know, margins and EBITDA and EBIT and words that Canadian investors don't ask. So that I really enjoyed. So thanks for having us in Atlanta. Look forward to participating next year. And now to the second part of your question is, what's exciting for Nicola? You know, just as I mentioned to at the Atlanta conference to investors, you know, we're just that much closer to our execution of our plan, and you know, we're heading into June now, and in July we will commence the operations at the Dominion Gold Project, and you know, just over the past week, we've paid the reclamation bond because we increased the reclamation bond for our Mines Act permit. We then went out, completed the payments for the camp that we have. We have a 14-man camp, and then we purchased some really big machinery that is very vital for the operation. Three Caterpillar 336s, haul trucks, drill rig to expedite production, a traction system. So we're there. So we're getting ready right now to start extracting high grade gold in July and start milling that material in August. So that's really exciting. And to add to that, in August, we've already engaged the engineers to reopen our silver mine, which is Treasure Mountain Silver Mine. So a lot going on.
All right, so I want to ask you, you do have a lot of projects. You got a lot going on from the Merritt Mill, Dominion Creek,
Yeah.
Treasure Mountain, New Craigmont, and even the concrete business.
Concrete
And
business.
how do you actually put Nicola together as a whole? Can you walk us through how the pieces fit together a little bit, and where do you see the biggest drivers of value from here?
That's a great question, and it's interesting because sometimes I feel investors get confused because they're like, oh, you've got so much going on. And actually, no, it's pretty simple. Like, if you look at some of our peers, they'll have projects in various jurisdictions, so various regions. So, something in Nevada, something in Quebec, and something maybe in Chile or Peru. And so we're actually very, very focused. Everything we have is in British Columbia. Everything we have is fully permitted. Everything is synergistic. Just think of it like a hub. And so, and that's what we are. We're a hub in British Columbia. We've got a mill that is the only permitted mill in British Columbia to process material from throughout the province. We have a partnership with Blue Lagoon, which is a great partner. They ship their material to us, but we also have our Dominion that starts up, as I mentioned, in July. We'll reopen the silver mine, which has always been part of the company. The mill was originally built for the silver mine, and we've just always waited, until the silver prices were at a point where we felt, let's reopen the mine. And it's a low cost mine. It's a low cost mine, but it didn't make sense depleting your resource when silver was $15. Now we're in a position where let's maximize the metal in the ground, monetize it. And so that's where we are. So we've got a mill, we've got, monetization of the mill through Blue Lagoon, through Dominion, then coming on as well as Treasure Mountain. And then the exploration side is connected because obviously exploration at Treasure Mountain is silver related, expanding the mine, lengthening the life of mine. And copper is the elephant that we've always had. And the mill itself is built on the land where the copper mine was. So everything is very, very synergistic. I don't look at it as a lot of moving parts. I look at it as a very synergistic unitized operation that all benefits from each other.
I want to, that's a good answer. It helps clarify things for me. I want to
Yeah.
ask you about the Merritt Mill. You mentioned that was the
Sure.
only permitted mill in British Columbia. I mean, how significant
To do material from the entire province, yeah.
so how significant is that you have that position? You mentioned Blue Lagoon. If you can talk a little bit about how it's cash flowing, how much it's producing, or how much it's flowing, and then how should investors be thinking about the value it adds to the company? Because if you're the only ones, that seems like a pretty strategic advantage. But if you can address that a little bit.
Yeah, and look, the mill itself. So I mean, there are other mills, but there aren't many. There are not many mining. If you took away oil and gas and coal, there's probably 10 mines in British Columbia of significance, and we're one of them. And so I, may less certainly less than 15 in a very, very large province. So, but what there's a few points that make our mill unique. So first of all, we're the only mill that the land is owned by the mining company. So we purchased the land, so we own it freehold. We then went out and rezoned it, so it's I3 industrial zone. So we're able to do industrial activity. So we've got a site that is an industrial site. It's the only such site in British Columbia. And then our permit reads, Nicola Mining has the right to accept and process gold and silver mill feed subject to notifying the Ministry of Mining. It's 30 days ahead. And so really, we just need, it's a notification. So we kind of look at if you are I kind of, because you know my background's mathematics, right? So I always like to think linearly and what do I know? What do I don't know? And what I know is that if you have a resource, a high-grade gold resource of 200,000 to 300,000 ounces, you can never justify building a mill for 250 million, because building our mill would cost you that much now. So you're looking at 250 million, but it's not just the CapEx, it's also the fact that it will take you 10 to 15 years to get all the permits and get everything in place. So there's a lot of opportunity for us to consolidate. And I always say to investors, if you really want to conceptualize our operations, so not the exploration, but if you want to conceptualize our operations of gold and silver production, it's pretty simple that I feel that Nicola Mining will be the greatest consolidator of high grade, gold and silver assets that British Columbia has ever seen. So
Wow.
that's, our credo, I guess.
And it, how much of that has to do with the mill? And if you can talk about the infrastructure in place and how close are these projects to each other? And what gives you that position to be that operational leader?
Well, it's the permitting, right? So again, it's permitting CapEx. It's there's a lot. It's not one thing. It's smaller project. Like if you have 2 to 3 million ounces, you can justify building a mill. If you're below 500,000 ounces, it's really, really difficult to justify, okay, we're going to spend a quarter million or a quarter billion, it's 250 million. We're going to spend the next 15 years getting our permits. There's a diagram in our on our presentation that basically shows 250,000 square miles, and there's a lot of high grade projects, and those are our targets and or potential partnerships. So we're looking at projects all the time. I mean, we can't move too quickly. Like we also got to be realistic. We can't start 10 new projects. So you need to get good, and we're right at that point. And so for investors, Nicola is right at that junction where we're morphing into that consolidator, which is includes Dominion. Then we're going to add on, once, so we've already, as I mentioned, we already engaged the engineers to reopen Treasure Mountain. So, that's step one, step two, and then we'll continue to add on small projects. But you can't start operating five mines at the same time. So we'll continue to roll them out. We'll get good at, you add one thing on, you get good at it, then you add another thing on, get good at it. But we're in a good position where we're able to utilize our cash flow. I'm not a big fan of dividends in mining. I believe in I believe I love M&A. I'm a former investment banker. So I believe that, for the right price, M&A works. For small projects, there are limited buyers. So we're in a good position to capitalize on that. And I'm also a believer in share buyback, utilizing certain, part of your cash flow to buy back shares, because it creates liquidity in the market. So those are things that we're going to slowly implement and execute on.
When I spoke with you, you mentioned something about the machinery. It sounded like you were very cost efficient. Is there something that you're doing differently? I mean, how are you being so cost effective? And if you can talk a little bit more about the significance of the engineers and what they're up to.
Yeah, so the machinery, so there's two parts. There's the mill machinery and then there's the mining machinery, right? So like for example, with Dominion, right? So we've gone ahead, we've just paid the reclamation, we increased the reclamation bond, and then we went out and we purchased three Caterpillar 336s. These are very large Caterpillars. On the one, we have mounted a Traxxon TREX 2000. I don't want to get too technical, but what it is, it's a drill mounted at the end of the excavator. So you've got an excavator, it goes out, it drills the holes, it just like a granite quarry, and then you cave the walls down. And then we've got another tracks, and with them we've got another Cat 336 that has jackhammers and wedges attached to it and rippers. It pulls down, it breaks down the walls, and then we've got another Cat to scoop it out. And then we've got our rock truck that all of this has just been purchased and, you know, secured over the last 3 weeks to 1 month. So, you know, this is, we've invested, we're, you know, we're fortunate we have the cash. We didn't have to go out and raise money to do it, or additional capital since, but there's a lot of, and the reason we have three machines is just in case one breaks down, then because you can swap the parts, right? So having three different machines doesn't make sense, because you want everything to be worst case scenario, and the worst case scenario is a machine breaks down. Now everything's under warranty, which is great. The tracks and system alone, that drill is a $450,000 investment. These are not small ticket numbers. And so then think of it now as a plumber. So now we go to Dominion and we mine there from July to mid-November. And then that entire system can move and go to another site, and we can do the mining there. So we've got this portable team or portable capability to do an additional bulk sample project, you know, and work all year round. Because Dominion is great during the summer months, but, you know, they do get a lot of snow. And the best efficiency that we're going to have is mining while there's no snow on the ground. And then, you know, in southern British Columbia, there are areas that also get no snow. So then you move it to the areas where there are no snow. So that's an efficiency. And then, of course, the mill itself, you know, with the expansion of 500 to expand the mill, we're able to batch, like we never blend things. And we're able to then subsequently, we'll have separate lines. We'll have a separate line for the flotation. So you're not sharing the flotation tank for two different projects as well. So that makes it efficient.
Peter, can you give us an update on New Craigmont? I know you guys were drilling, I don't know, it was 45 holes. If you can just kind of tell us about what was the reasoning for that and what are you hoping to validate, or what's the next step here?
The New Craigmont was where the plan is this year is 1 to 2 holes.
Okay.
And they're testing an anomaly. And just to put it in perspective, so there is an anomaly that has been known. It's never been tested. And understand that, you know, the New Craigmont project could hold multiple porphyries. It could, you know, just because we're adjacent to Highland Valley. Highland Valley has 5 porphyries of in excess of 7 billion pounds of copper each. And so what we have is, you know, we wanted to test, and that anomaly is 3.6 kilometers in diameter. So, you know, more than 2.5 miles in diameter. The a porphyry that is, you know, a half, you know, 5 billion pound porphyry system is 300 to 400 meters across. So, you know, so you're drilling an area and we're testing it, and then we're going to step out. We're testing it right now. We'll then get the results, and then you see where the fluids are flowing from. And then because you can see the way when you do thin slices, you can see how the mineralization has hardened or has cooled.
And yeah.
We'll test that. And then, but the four holes, we'll be testing four holes at Treasure Mountain. So after the Craigmont, we'll move to Treasure Mountain, and we'll be drilling the MB zone, which is on the backside of the mountain, which is an area that Coeur was really excited about when they invested into Treasure Mountain in 2012. And so we'll test that area for the first time ever, and we'll do a four to five hole drill program there. So, you know, we've talked a lot about the operations, but as far as the exploration, we'll be exploring both copper and silver this year.
So you mentioned the U.S. investor pool being a lot more conscientious about the operation side, or do Canadians understand the exploration side? Was there So you said it was eye-opening. Could you talk a little bit more about just does that? Do you find that Nikola appeals more to one or the other? Do you? Is it just kind of looking at it from two different angles?
Sure. So it's that's a really, really great question, and it's something that I've put a, like asked myself. I've given it a lot of thought.
Yeah,
and I would say that, you know, we couldn't have picked a better time to uplist on NASDAQ. And the reason is because you have an American market that understands that they don't want to wait 15 years for a project to get developed, and they want to be closer to the monetization area. So from that perspective, the US investors are happy. And you know, understanding, look, I've been the CEO of Nikola Mining for 13 years, and understanding drill results is incredibly complex. And I'll just, if I can give you an example, like, you know, you can look at, you know, what is a mine, what is a profitable copper mine in British Columbia? What does it look like? And if the grades are higher than 0.18% or 0.2%, you're profitable in British Columbia. But if you were to go to Nevada, where water is expensive, you're further to, you know, power is much more expensive. So now suddenly your break even is 0.35%. And then you go to Mexico, where water is even more expensive. Getting to the ports is more difficult. Now you're looking at, you know, 0.38 to 0.4%. And then when you get to the Andes and you're in Peru and Chile, you know, your break even is going to be closer to 0.7% because you're up. And so from that perspective, there's, you know, and it took time for me to learn that. So, and for American investors to suddenly, you know, just because they're interested in Nikola or another, you know, my Canadian mining company, dive in and do your geological thesis in copper production, or, you know, what, you know, what's the difference between 17 meters of 5 grams versus 8 meters of 9 grams, you know, and the importance of depth. Canadians get that because that, you know, we've been explorers forever. And so Canadians, so our drilling will really resonate with Canadian investors. So I would say that where we are now, we kind of have the best of both worlds. We've got, we've opened it up to, and Canadian investors will slowly get educated to the operation side, and American investors will slowly get educated to the exploration side. And I think you're going to see that more and more, you know, under the current administration, U.S. administration as well. It's become very clear that, you know, the importance of having your own minerals, your critical minerals, your, you know, your metals that are required to manufacture, your, you know, having those things and bringing manufacturing home. So this is something that is becoming more and more important, but, and people are getting more used to it, but it takes time to educate yourself.
Peter, where are you with market cap now? Where do you guys sit? And in light of the operational and the exploration angles, you know, what do you think is the most misunderstood or undervalued regarding your story?
I hate it when people say we're undervalued, because then that's like saying, well, you know, get the value, do a good job.
Who isn't?
So I think that our market cap, so we're around 180 million Canadian.
Okay.
I would say that our market cap has, you know, if you look at our share price is down 40%. And so the question is, well, you know, what was the driver of that decline? And it actually, you know, unfortunately, we had one very, very large major shareholder who passed away. And the family trust has been selling their holding, and they've been selling it very, they started selling very aggressively in January. And so, and that, you know, has obviously had an impact, but they're, you know, they're, and this is just from a pure equity stock, right? Once they've exited, and they're, I can't disclose how many shares they have left, but, you know, very, very few compared to their original holding. Then you can see the seller is gone. And you know, one thing about people ask me, like, why is your share price up or why is your share price down? My answer is always, well, you know, it's down because we had more sellers and buyers, or it's up because we had more buyers and sellers. And so you know, that's been pressure on the stock. As far as the fundamentals of the company, you know, we're in a great position to capitalize. We're going to continue to come out with news that's very positive, and people will take note. And you know, there's not too many mining companies that are going to come out with very positive news, both on the exploration front as well as the operation front, and show that hockey stick type of revenue growth, that you know, free cash flow that people love. And so I think in the end, the market's going to reward us and value us where we should be valued. And then as we bring the silver mine into production again, that's a re-trigger. That's another catalyst. So we're going to continue to have these catalysts that are going to, you know, should drive the share price, or the market cap, because you know, the share price is part of the, it's just a derivative, or it's a mathematical reality of the value of the entity increasing. And so you'll see the value of the market cap of Nikola increase, the share price will increase, and I'm pretty confident that it'll be pretty robust going forward.
Awesome. Peter, how do people follow your news, your stories, and how do they, is there any particular milestones that we should be on the lookout for in the next 12 months, 18 months?
Well, I again, you know, we've got news. You know, we're going to be commencing operations at Dominion. We're going to be reopening Treasure Mountain Silver Mine. We're going to be doing exploration at the, well, we've completed one major hole at the Craigmont. We're going to be commencing exploration at Treasure Mountain. All of these results are going to be coming out. We're going to have earnings coming out. And then we've got things that I can't really talk about now because we're under NDA. But there's a lot of catalysts going forward, and a balanced, right? It's not all exploration, it's not all operation. It's a balanced flow of catalysts for the company going forward over the next 12 months.
For our listeners, disclosure, I myself am an investor of Nikola Mining. Started investing when I first interviewed you, Peter. You know, full disclosure, after the Atlanta conference, me and some others, my family bought some more. I'm not giving investment advice. For those who are interested, I would recommend you reach out to Peter and others, do your own due diligence, check out Nikola, the website, the ticker. Peter, if you'd be so kind as to give us the website and ticker one more time.
So the website is www.nicolamining.com. Nicola spelled Nicola mining. If you can't spell mining, you're going to have a hard time investing in a mining company.
So don't do it.
And our ticker on the TSX Venture is NIN, and our ticker on NASDAQ is NICM, Nikola Indigo Canada Montana.
Awesome. Well, Peter, good to see you as always. Look forward to following your story. Thanks for being on
Thanks for
here.
having us.
All right. Thanks, Peter.
Take care.